Succession number 30034, Reel 6.
Because you knew everything it would do.
Mm.
But I don't remember any of the idiosyncrasies yet. All of the airplanes operated pretty much the same. But some of them would trim up a little bit better than others. Very tiny little things that would make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing big.
Turning to the social side, I'm interested in the general character of a fighter squadron. The myth has it that everyone was big drinking, you know, party loving, so on. But of your squadron, when you were a commander, how many were sort of quiet guys who never really socialized?
Most of them. The single ones, we got a, you know, we, Bill Wood, my flight surgeon, went down to London and got an apartment right after I became commander, and I went down and signed the lease. I'm not sure that I went down or whether he brought the lease up, but I signed it as the commander.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right outside of Wellington Barracks, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't heard, 1,000 British soldiers with their steel cleats on the carpet on the cobblestones at 6 o'clock in the morning, you come right out of the bed. But you know, the sergeant major would yell something which I never did understand, but they understood it when he said, "Why, a million feet hit the ground." And we had a lady there. I did not get to know her. I met her once, that was all. For that apartment, I went down there a total of twice, I think. She had a 16-year-old daughter, and a 16-year-old girl and a widow woman is a bad combination. But my single man used to go down there, and this lady was very nice. She used to wake them up with a cup of cocoa in the morning. Mm-hmm. Wakey, wakey, wakey. And I heard about that right very quickly, that this lady was a very friendly lady. And I have no idea whether they got in the daughter's pants or not. They certainly got in her pants.
Did they?
Yes.
Oh.
And
Well, she was an older woman, right?
Oh, yes, yes, she was.
Yeah.
But once we got the apartment, I could pretty much control them, because then I knew where they were. You know, it was a free room, and, well, it wasn't quite free. I think each one of them had to donate £3 a month to keep the thing going.
And this is where they were sent on leave, was it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Was there a flak house for fighter pilots?
Yes, Coombe House, way down on the south coast.
It took fighter guys as well.
Pardon me?
It took fighter guys as well.
Yes. Gordon Backdorf and I went down there, and we got there... I know I took part in a fox hunt because I had ridden horses before, and I knew about English saddles. I had ridden English saddles quite a bit. And Lady Hamilton, as I recall, invited Batdorf and myself on this fox hunt. And I went. I wound up feeling sorry for the horses more than anything. They really beat their horses something terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Horses have been part of my life up to that point. And I don't like to see a horse all lathered up and this sort of thing. But in any event, we went on the fox hunt, and I managed to jump the rails and the hedges as was expected. But I never got out in the lead. I always followed the thing. I remember there were three little girls 12, maybe 14, something like that. They all had their riding hats and riding habits on, and they were very nice little kids. I recall when we were at Coombe House, they had some Red Cross girls there. They had a party, and I'm sitting on the hood of a Jeep with this Red Cross girl. I didn't know her name then, and I don't know her name now, and Barbara thinks the worst. not true, but in any event, the only thing that, that was exciting that happened there was that the day after we got there, there had been a B-17 crew leave the day we got there, and this B-17 crew came back the next day in their little B-17, and they proceeded to beat the hell out of the place. Things were going fine. They would swoop across the house and pull up and turn and do chandelles and whatnot. And they came whistling down once, and they were a little too low, and they took out the top of a pine tree. Mm-hmm. And you could see the wing had a big gash in it.
Oh, you saw the gash in the
wing? Oh, yeah. No, I watched them do all this.
Yeah.
They had left the day before or 2 days before, something like that, and then they came back to wave hello, whatever it is. And they beat up the place, and then their last pass, well, of course, when they hit the tree, that turned out to be the last pass. and it was a gash. It must have been about that wide, and it was probably that long in the leading edge on the right wing. And they took off for home. We later heard, if you wish to have a rumor, the crew could not decide how they were going to explain this big gash in the wing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they all got together and they said, okay, we will belly the airplane in. And this way they will never know, because the gash will have been something that happened when we bellied it in, which they did. And things apparently went fine for 2 or 3 days. And I'm quoting from one of the bomb troops.
Mm-hmm.
How much validity is to it, I don't know. But somebody on the crew got cold feet, and they reported it. And from there on, they started calling them in, and did you this, and did you that, and finally, yeah. What became of them, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that the man who talked to me said that, you know, that they found out and they were going to court-martial,
mm-hmm.
which seems like a logical move.
Yeah. Okay. The when you first got to England with the 56, what sort of social opportunities were there for the pilots? And I mean, were some of them eager to go out and have a good time, and
yes.
others
O'Connor,
more studious?
There were a number of them who were single. The married troops tended to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of Compton, Whitley. Gordon Batdorf was single, and I went out with him. He dated a nurse. This nurse had a friend. So I teamed up with a friend. I never slept with the woman.
Mm-hmm.
She damn near caused a divorce. But Gordon invited his girl, and I said, you know, you can bring this other girl along, I will take care of her. And it was at a dance, and, I guess at the base, I don't remember now. But I know I was getting ready to leave, and which I did. And this nurse, whose name I don't recall, wrote me a letter, a very nice letter. Dear Bunny, I had a great time at the party the other night, so guess who got it?
it was sent back to the States, was it?
Well, no, it was sent to my unit there, and Shep Doherty put all my mail into a big envelope and sent it on. A little brains on his part would have helped, but I think maybe he probably enjoyed doing this, because we had sort of a standoff. And I was going to let Barbara read it, and then when this, I had a great time at the party, really enjoyed seeing you, blah, blah, Christ, you know, why die now? You know, I've just come home, and so I tore it up, and she flushed it down the toilet. And to this day, I think she thinks I slept with that girl, which I did not. But it doesn't make any difference.
Well, quite frankly, I mean, what one does in one's private life is one's private life, and the fact is, you've got a very good marriage, and what the hell's it matter what you did in the past?
Yeah.
I mean, I know people.
No, she suspects me of many things which I have not done.
Well, I think this is typical. Probably, to be fair, we sometimes expect our wives of various things which they have not done, but that's life. What about some of the other guys? People like Walker Maharan, was he a great social guy?
Quite a bit. Not as much as you might think, but he participated because he was not married.
Mm.
But he participated in the parties and so on.
How regular were those
parties? Whether he had a female friend or not, I don't know. Mm. I know John Boat had one. From India, as a matter of fact, from William Martin.
Was he single?
Yes, he was single.
You know, Louis Zemke said to me once, "Did Hub ever tell you about the love of his life?" And I said, "Well, I didn't expect him to." So I said, "You know, what do you mean?" She said, "Oh, he met this woman, but I've never heard about it. I never asked him. It's not my business."
I don't either. I never heard anything.
I have never heard anything.
Now, Dave, different part.
Oh, yes, everywhere you go.
Dade, same thing. George Hall, same thing.
Dade, too?
Dade.
Dade?
Yeah, Pete Dade.
He was a womanizer.
Oh, yeah. He was more into the high society part of it.
Well, then he must have been on Schilling's tail, because that's what Schilling went for.
Yeah. I'll tell you what you might want to do if you are so inclined. George Hall has written a semi-fictional book of his war stories. There is not much war in it. And
it's all whore and not war, is it?
Yeah. And he continually talks about Lady So-and-so and Lord So-and-so and so on and so forth. The names are only very thinly disguised. You will be able to recognize the names through them. And he and Pete Dade were great for going over to Lady and whatever his title was.
And this is supposedly fiction, is it?
It's what?
It's supposedly fiction.
Yes.
Mm.
I suppose you could play to George's ego, which he has a great deal, and tell him both Walker Meharan and Bunny Comstock have read your book, and they both are quite thrilled with it. Dr. Clark. But you were wondering if you could possibly read it, and that you're trying to get some background.
It's never been published.
No, it's his son who was in the publishing business said, "Hey, Dad, that he couldn't sell." And it wouldn't. There's no war to it.
Mm.
Very little.
Mm.
It's just mostly socializing. We went and had tea and crumpets with Lady and so on. There's a little bit of war to it.
Mm. But,
you might find it interesting. It only takes you about an hour to read it.
Mm-hmm.
But he had poured his heart and soul into it.
Has he?
And he wanted to publish it. His son refused.
Well, if his son is in publishing, that's strange.
Yeah.
The guys in your squadron, was there anyone who over-socialized, you know, who had an alcoholic problem, or
McDonald
got himself into trouble with women and was a complete pain in the ass?
No. You will have to turn to Fred Christensen most.
Well, that's what I've heard from Hub. But Hub couldn't... Hub told me about the time he had to get him out of the police place in Colchester. But didn't you say there was some other?
Oh, yes, he did it again when Dave was group commander. And Dave had to get him out. A long time ago. But as I recall, Chris had a young woman up in the bedroom, and the mother somehow became involved, and he was drunk, and he beat the can over with a .45. I don't mean he shot at her, he just hit her with it.
To the mother?
Yes, to the mother. And I'm think the Bobbies picked him up for that, but then Dave had to get him out of it.
Mm.
And the Dave was quite disgusted about Colfer.
That must have been pretty well near the end of his tour, surely.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty close. And I believe Dave sent him home, but I wouldn't swear to that.
Well, he seems
to have, I wasn't interested in it.
Yeah, he seems to have vanished fairly quickly from the scene. He, I don't know quite when he did finish his tour, but he suddenly seems to have vanished.
Yeah, that was in Colchester.
Yeah, that's true. Who was Dave's big buddy later
on? Dave's big buddy?
Yeah. Did he have his own buddies?
He slept with Pete Dave. The two of them stayed together, and I know that when I left the group, when Smitty and I left the group, Dave was gone, and Pete Dave wrote my effectiveness report.
Well,
and that damn near killed me.
Really?
Oh, he wrote me a bad one. And I suppose you could put it damnation by faint praise.
Yeah.
And it was so bad that when Dave came home, I remember I flew from Hamilton, where I was stationed. No, I'm sorry, I was in the Pentagon. And I went to see Dave, and I showed him what Pete had written. And I said, you know that that is not true, that I was not a bad leader, and an ineffective leader. And Dave wrote a nice letter and asked for it to be taken out of my file, and he replaced it with his own.
Mm-hmm.
But Pete and I had a running gun battle whole time, all throughout our whole career.
Mm-hmm. As I said, I only spoke to him once on the phone. You seemed quite affable then, but one 20-minute phone call doesn't size anybody up.
Well, you represent... you represent publicity or ego building. No, but you do. To Pete, that would be the whole thing. I mean, Pete claimed three victories.
He has none.
Huh?
He has none, surely.
The Fighter Aces Association have just said that he shot down 5.
What?
That's right. What is right?
Well, how come the Fight Association go against that?
I have not had a chance to get at this yet. I just found it about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Well, it was longer than that because Hub called me and he said, Bunny, he said, did you see that? I said, yeah. And he said, how in the world did they ever arrive at that? I said, I don't know. I will get with Bruce Porter, a Marine, and I will try and find out. I just haven't had the time to call Bruce.
Well, the last letter I had from Hub said something about the Fighter Aces Association had been delving into personal scores,
yeah,
and that he didn't really like it at this end, and they had fiddled about with it. Yeah. He made some remark about it. But I would have thought that they couldn't better on that Air Force study. As we said the other day, you can... there might be a few more or there might be a few less, but to suddenly give somebody who never had any victories...
Yeah. Well, he claimed 3 and he's in the book.
As 3?
Yes.
Is he?
Yes, he is.
Oh, well, I didn't appreciate that. I didn't think he had any victories at all.
Yeah. I told you about the one where he claimed he shot down the airplane with the 2 bombs hanging on, and when he came back, he was flying with the 63rd. He said, and I forgot the damn bombs. And but then within 3 or 4 days, the story changed a little bit. Instead of forgetting the bombs, he very bravely hung on to his bombs and attacked the airplane, and then he could go and drop his bombs on the target.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can remember his aircraft. I can't even say for a minute. It was LMP, and it was often near Shillings. It was on the same cluster at Boxton, LMP. Schilling had the first... Yeah.
Did he have an airplane?
Yes, LMP.
Oh, good for him.
Schilling had the first P-47M, which was LMS. That was Schilling's.
Mm-hmm.
And then this next P-40M was that we saw was LNP. Mm-hmm. And that, the ground crew guys told me that was Dade. Had no victory symbols on the side.
Yep.
But then, not everybody put victory symbols on the side.
No, my crew chief put one on, and that was all. Well, the reason being, you had to have them confirmed.
Mm.
And by the time it was confirmed, you were all doing something else. And it just never particularly interested me one way or the other.
How many aircraft did you use up? Use, in quotes, after your original UNY.
Yeah, it crashed.
And then you went
around Bungay, I think.
Yeah.
Or wherever.
Well, I know where it went.
Yeah, okay. Then I got another one, and I kept that one.
Until you went home?
Until I went home.
And you went home in when?
February, I believe, of 44.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was probably...
Well, you had a month, did you?
April.
Yeah, because you had a month, that's all.
Yeah. I crashed my Y February of 44.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a new one, and as I recall, it was a T-25. It bubbled. And I remember there was a Lieutenant Oskowski. And he wanted to know if he could use my boots while I was gone. Though I loaned him my, they were British farmer's boots is what they were, you know, fleece lined.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his picture taken a half a dozen times with those damn boots on. You know, I can't understand. I have one picture with them on. And that picture, incidentally, is hanging in the Air Force, associated with the Air Force Academy. Then that Y was the one that Sam Batson took down. And I did not have another airplane assigned.
Well, you went home, so when you came back, you must have had another aircraft assigned. You had that, I mean, I haven't checked this, but you had that crash of your original aircraft.
Yes.
They gave you another one that you flew until you went home.
Yes.
But when you came back, you must have had another one.
I probably did, but I don't remember it.
Yeah, I think you did from my memory.
Yeah.
You were still Y, weren't you?
I might have been. Probably was.
I probably saw you chug by in, you know, it's...
I used to watch those things. I did not have anything painted on it. No skull.
No.
No nothing.
That's right. I think I did last time we met, I think I looked up and I had seen, I've got a record of your second aircraft and there is no nickname or anything on it. And I mean, all the 63rd Squadron, I think I logged all them at one time or another. And I mean, the pilot was somebody in the cockpit with a helmet on and you didn't know who the hell he was. Unless you got to know from like people like Gabby and Christensen, you know, you've got to know one or two. Yeah, and Pub's aircraft I knew because they told me what it was. But
when Hub went home, I picked up his airplane, and frankly, why I picked it up, I have no idea. But I had no why at that time.
Mm.
I tend to think it was Batson who took my why in, but
it's Hub's. The serial number is Hub's because I checked it.
Yeah,
no, it was that. That was the one.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? When I used to work on there, scrapping up hay, ostensibly working, there was a silver aircraft. This is before D-Day, and it was called Quaker Shalemel, which I could never make head or tail.
That belonged to a lieutenant by the name of Fredericks. Ducky Fredericks. He was a Quaker. Quakers, of course, as you know, are against killing. Ducky Fredericks, I guess that was, I'll have to look up, but I believe it was Fredericks. But anyway, he was known as Ducky. He was just plain bloodthirsty. He would shoot at anything that moved.
Oh, he's the guy you mentioned earlier on, yes. Well, that aircraft was UNI, and it was a presentation aircraft. I got, you know, like the Oregon's Britannia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it always intrigued me because it had got this peculiar figure painted on the front, and Quaker Schlemmel, which I couldn't really understand.
I don't either.
Who do you know? The standard of artwork was quite good.
Oh, very good.
Do you know who did all that? In the 56?
Pardon me?
Do you know who did all that art? No. I wondered if there was... It was a very high standard.
I'll give you my crew chief's name, and he might remember if you want to call him up and ask him.
Well,
I... give me his phone number.
Good. Write to him.
Yep, okay. I'll
give his address. I often think that if you can write to somebody, it gives him more time.
Yeah, it gives him more time. He's had... You know, I lost his wife, and he's had some problems.
Mm.
Quite crushed over.
Mm. Well, understandably.
It's understandable.
Yeah.
But Ducky, as I told you, went to the Pacific and duked it out with a Japanese flak battery on the Yakima, and the flak battery lost. Or the flak battery won, and Ducky lost. He's in the Pacific.
Yeah. Lost in the ETO. With the bad weather that we've had?
Oh, yes, frequently. What is lost? And I always made it back to the base. If I had the fuel. I never had to land at the base because I could not find my own base. I did land up wherever the 100th was because I was out of fuel.
That's interesting that you, because there is reference to a P-47 landing on that base on that day that they lost all those aircraft.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was you.
And I watched this lone P-17.
All you'd get was a homing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
They'd give you a bearing.
I didn't have enough fuel to get home.
But usually, what would you do? Just call?
I forget what they call them.
Call for a bearing.
Yes, and they would triangulate you and give you a bearing.
Mm.
And
on the strength of your...
No, you know, I'm trying to be honest with you.
On the strength of the radio signal, I should give you.
Yes, yeah. They had these stations all over, and they would triangulate. You would count 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then they would say, steer such and such and so and so.
Did you ever have anything to do with pilots in other fighter groups? Any social contact or any...
Yes,
any
I had a friend.
Work contact?
Ray Wetmore.
Yes.
Well, Ray came from a little town of Kermit out here, and I had known Ray prior to the time we went into the air club. And Ray used to come over because when I went home on leave, I brought a waffle iron back, if you can imagine. My B-4 bag was like that. I brought a waffle iron back, and that's when we built the little snack bar, and you could always get a waffle over at the 63rd Squadron.
Mm-hmm.
And Ray used to come down, and, you know, we talked about the old days, the hay rides, and he would always have a waffle, a cup of coffee, and something like that.
Mm-hmm. Because he did exceptionally well.
Yes.
I know he was killed after the war,
but
he was the only one in his group to run into double figures, I think.
Yes. I just had a letter from a young man out in Kerman who has Ray's effects, a wallet, several other things that he had left over, because Ray and his wife got along. They had three children, but Ray... Apparently, from what I can gather from the people at Kerman and this young man, whatever his name is, she finally left if he became so abusive.
Mm.
And I never saw Ray after the war, but I understand he was quite thrilled with himself. This is too bad.
Too bad. Well, he bought the farm, didn't he, or something?
Yeah.
I don't know the ins and outs.
I don't remember how either.
It was in a jet.
Is that what it was?
So I understand.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I have a photo of him in a jet. Any other visits to, any other contacts?
No, I used to go up to the 44th Bomb Group, as I have told you, and Colonel Johnson invited me to fly through his hangars if we ever earned our keep. And the one time up to, I want to say Gox Hill, I'm not sure if that's where it was, I don't think that was it. It was an RAF base on the south side of the Wash.
Yes, and I know the one from which the tow target folk went.
And I went up there specifically, and I got permission this time, and I went up and I wanted to meet this guy Burling, who somebody had told me about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent maybe 15, 20 minutes with him.
Yeah, it's Sutton something.
Yeah, Sutton Bridge.
That's it, Sutton Bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was used by the contact. Did you ever have any...